Today's reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. So please take your Bibles and join with us. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And we're going to begin verses 1 to 25 here this morning. Verses 1 to 25. Luke, chapter 23, verses 1 to 25. This is God's Word. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him, that is Jesus, unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. So notice the accusation in verse 2. That was the accusation as Luke records it for us in his gospel. Pilate asked Jesus, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? He answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault. Drop my pen. I find no fault in this man. Notice that. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time, because it was the feast. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. This is the same Herod that entertained John the Baptist. Okay, this is the same Herod. Because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. So notice Herod's motivation for meeting up with Jesus someday. Then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. So after Herod was amused or not amused, he sends Jesus packing back to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. Now, this is interesting, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Wow. Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And behold, I have examined him before you. Here it goes. Have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. That's twice Pilate acknowledges Jesus' innocency. Nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. That's the third time, but includes Herod's assessment. I will therefore chasten him and release him. I'm going to whip him and then release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. So maybe Pilate thought that this would be the one person at that season who would be let go. He would kind of rough him up and then let him go. And they cried out at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. So notice who the religious leaders were wanting in exchange. A real criminal. A real criminal. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chasten him and let him go. That's another time. How many times has Pilate acknowledged the innocency of Christ? And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevail. Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus, notice, to their will. That's key. Well, may God choose to bless his word. So this is Jesus' trial. Jesus before Pilate is our title. Jesus before Pilate. Isn't it interesting that verse 2, let's look once again at the accusation of the religious leaders. We found this fellow perverting the nation. Now that doesn't sound religious. That sounds more of a political nation. Some type of a governmental, anti-government, anti-political thing. Forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. Jesus never forbid them to give tribute to Caesar. He told them, what belongs to Caesar, give it to Caesar. What belongs to God, give it to God. Did he not say that? Notice how they twisted his words and made him a liar, saying that he himself is Christ the king. And then Pilate asked, whoa, my word, are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? Of course, we all know at this time Herod was the so-called appointed king of Israel by the Roman government. Jesus says, well, you're the one saying it. And then we find in that verse 4, I find no fault in this man. What are you doing with my time? You're bothering me. This man's not worthy of death. And then notice verse 5, the religious leaders come, bird chirping again. He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. So Pilate thought, this is my way out of this kind of dilemma. You say he's Galilean? Well, that's Herod's jurisdiction. So Pilate pings Jesus to Herod, who was in town, because it was the feast. And so he gets an audience here with Herod. Herod kind of, verses 8, I think, is the key. Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season. Did he not entertain John the Baptist for a long time, even going down to John the Baptist's cell and having dialogue with John the Baptist until eventually he had his head taken off his shoulders? Wow. He wanted to see some miracle. He wanted to see some magic. He wanted to see a few bunnies out of a hat. He wanted to be entertained. And then he given him a lot of questions in verses 9, and Jesus never gave him an answer. So guess what, Christian? There are times and seasons you are not obligated to give your adversary any answer. Herod asked questions. Jesus remained silent. And then verses 10, notice it's the religious leaders, not the unbelieving pagans, Gentiles, and the Romans and the Greeks. It's the unbelieving Jews here stood vehemently accusing Jesus all the more. And then so verse 11, Herod, to somehow placate the Jewish leaders to make them still love him, he kind of roughs up Jesus a little bit and then sends him packing back to Pilate. Now notice verse 12. Isn't it amazing that two individuals who were at odds with each other conveniently make up and become buddies over the trial of Jesus? They have a common enemy. Yes, sir, that's from the congregation just now. They had a common enemy. And isn't it amazing that some of our enemies may be one-on-one, meaning they're against us or they're against you individually. But when more of their enemies don't like you, isn't it amazing how all those enemies that were once individual against you now become a team? A Texas tag team against you. Isn't that amazing? Well, it happened right here against Jesus. So Herod and Pontius Pilate buried the hatchet, whatever it was between these two. And because of Jesus, they become the best of buds. The best of buds. Well, they bring Jesus back to Pilate, so that ruins Pilate's mourning once again, I would imagine. And he tells them, I've examined this man. I find nothing wrong with him. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to rough him up, and then I'll send him, I'll send him free. Verse 17, for of necessity he must release one of them at the feast. The Jews said, no, give us Barabbas. Now again, I want you to meditate, stop and think. Religious Jews, the Sanhedrin, the spiritual leaders, the ones who would officiate in the temple with the sacrifices to make an atonement, to cover the sins of the people and of individuals. These were the religious leaders of the people. These were the ones who would take the word of God and supposedly expound that word to God's people so God's people would understand what the will of the Lord is for their lives. These same people took the word of God, which was personified in the person of Jesus, and exchanged him for a murderer. If the Sanhedrin was alive today, they would be members of the Democratic Party, because they know how to kill innocent people. They've done a fantastic job, beginning with President Andrew Jackson and the Trail of Tears, with the Native American population of the southeastern states, all the way down to the present. Crucify him, verse 21. What evil? Verse 22, Pilate asks, what evil has he done? I find nothing wrong with him. I'll let him go. And then verse 23, again, the same religious leaders who are in the temple of the true and the living God to do the service of God on behalf of the people of God, they prevailed upon Pilate to the point he simply released him. And then we got that shocking, chilling climax to their will. Their will made a choice. Their depraved will, like every other sinner, that will of theirs was taken captive to their reprobated, depraved, fallen, Adamic, polluted, tarnished, tainted inner nature. The very core of their heart made a choice, not against their will, but with that will, a darkened, dead, benighted heart. He turned them over to their desire, to their lust, to their choice. Well, beloved, when Jerusalem fell in AD 70, and the city and the temple burnt, every stone toppled to the ground, millions killed and tens of thousands enslaved, that was their just judgment. Revelation 1, verse 7. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.